Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Teens often wonder if anyone is really listening to them. But what happens when they're not only heard, but given the tools, the guidance, and the stage to share an idea that matters to them? Our guest today is someone who helped make that a reality, bringing together a team of Toastmasters to coach and support young speakers as they stepped onto a TEDx stage. CCSBU has been referred to as a force, both on stage and behind the scenes. She's a two-time TEDx speaker and five-time Distinguished Toastmaster. A former U.S. Marine turned author and executive director of TEDx Miramar, CC doesn't just build talks, she engineers transformations with her well-known CC Pat. CC is of Jamaican descent, born in London, England, and now lives in Miramar, Florida. She's been a Toastmaster since April 2016. Congratulations on 10 years. She's a past division director and is currently a member of three clubs in District 47. And just when you think you've got her figured out, she'll also tell you she's a proud great-grandmother, which is a great reminder that impact has nothing to do with age. CC is featured in the Toastmaster magazine article, Youth Take the Stage. South Florida Toastmasters help young people find their voice with TEDx Miramar Youth by Kate McClare in the March 2026 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from Miramar, Florida, I look out my window and it's still snowing. CCSBU, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Greg, for inviting me. It is wonderful to be here. This has been a dream of mine forever.
It's a pleasure. CC, I think what you're doing is really important, helping young people find their voice. I mean, and when you think about it, they are our leaders of the future. And while we've seen many young people step up in powerful ways around the world, I think we just need more of that.
Yes, definitely, definitely. We need to see our young people shine.
Absolutely. Now, before we begin, CC, I have to ask, I saw this in your bio, and of course, I read it aloud. The CC Pat, I need to know what this is about.
That came about in a very simple way. I am a former U.S. Marine, and we always have each other's back. And in my mind, if I suggested that somebody do something, then I'm responsible to stand behind that person and just support them. And sometimes if people leaned back and didn't want to do it, I might have leaned forward. And it ultimately became the CC Pat.
That's absolutely amazing.
Some people said that I pushed them before they were leaning back, but that's not the way I remember it at all.
TEDx Miramar Youth. CC, take us back to that event last fall, watching these teenagers take the stage. How did it make you feel, first as a great-grandmother, but also as a Toastmaster?
It was definitely one of the shining moments of my career. And let me take you back a little bit further. During COVID, my COVID project was to go back to school and finish my degree. It was in psychology. And there's this thing we've all heard of that the apple does not fall far from the tree. And I thought, well, yes, usually that's a negative connotation, but does it work the other way? And does it work if children whose parents are speakers, are they naturally better speakers? And so that's how the idea of TEDx Miramar was born. Let's have students whose parents are speakers in any capacity, whether they're professional speakers or Toastmasters, let's take those children and see, could we take them through the youth leadership program and get them on a TEDx stage?
Yeah,
it was as simple as that.
Inside, how did it make you feel?
Well, I was actually really, really nervous because it's not easy to stand in front of a couple hundred people and do your first speech ever. And in Toastmasters, we call it speeches, but in TEDx, it's a talk. Regardless, it's not easy. And I was nervous for these students. Could they do it? How would they feel? And I was ready to run up there and give them a hug if they needed it. And they all knocked it out of the ballpark. Each and every single one of them was amazing.
Oh, that's great. That's super. So, CC, obviously, to help train or coach these students, you had a very specific or very unique coaching program. How did that work?
I looked at the Toastmaster Youth Leadership Program, where you have one facilitator and they have a group of students. In my mind, I really wanted to see what would happen if we had one Toastmaster mentoring one student and getting them through almost like a level two in any Pathways project, which is the mentoring. So I took pieces of different parts of Pathways and put them all together. One Toastmaster mentoring one student through the youth leadership program.
That's wonderful.
All within the guidelines of TED.
Now, coaching students, coaching youth, coaching teens isn't the same as coaching adults. They don't have any of that experience behind them. How did you work with that, or how did you adapt to that?
Well, first of all, we couldn't make the students cry, okay? Crying was not allowed, all right? You know, they say no crying in baseball. Well, no crying in a Toastmaster youth leadership program whatsoever. So they had to be empathetic. They had to be good listeners. They had to be able to watch the students and see, you know, when they were low on energy and really get to know them, know their personalities, and know what they were capable of.
And what was it like? How were the students taking to the feedback?
The students, oh my goodness, they were wonderful. It was the parents we had to worry about. Oh my goodness. So in order to be compliant with all the rules and regulations surrounding children, we told the coaches that when they were mentoring their students, everything was done via Zoom. The room doors had to be open and the parents had to be able to walk in and listen at any part of the conversation just to make sure everybody was safe. But sometimes when the students may or may not have done their homework, and the coach might have had to say, listen here, you're messing up. Some of the parents got a little edgy, but all in all, everybody was happy at the end.
Oh, that's awesome. Because I was trying to find a very polite way of saying, well, sometimes the youth and the teens just don't like taking direction.
Rightly so. You know, we had all kinds of excuses. They had homework to do. They had a race to run the next day or in 3 days, so they couldn't do their homework now. And it was like, really? How many video games did you play today? You know, that kind of stuff. But all in all, it was a lot of fun. We saw a lot of growth, not only in the Toastmaster coaches and mentors, but also in the students and what they're capable of.
Let's talk a little bit about that growth. I'm very interested in hearing about both the perspective of the students and, of course, of the coaches as well.
I'm trying to think of the nicest, most polite way to say this. I am a former U.S. Marine. I'm not the warmest, fuzziest person in the world. And so when I'm dealing with a teenage boy and trying to tell them that they're messing up, the way that I would talk to a Marine or somebody in boot camp is obviously not the way I can talk to one of these students. I had to learn some new language skills. I did. It was a big joke. Everybody saw me struggling on how to be warm and fuzzy when that's not necessarily my nature to be like that. So.
Now, I'm thinking back to some of my Toastmaster meetings. I have been there where people didn't arrive prepared for their roles. So I guess it's not just the kids.
Right, that's true. And I think that these students didn't understand what they were stepping into. It's a huge deal to be able to do a TEDx talk. And adults wait years for an opportunity to be able to do that. And not that these students were given that opportunity because they actually worked for it. It was just, I don't think they realized what the payoff was in the end. Because It went on their college applications and their resumes.
Yeah.
So kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was wondering, how were the speakers selected? Was it a class that participated? Was it a volunteer? How did that work?
We put out a call for speakers. It was just as simple as that. And then we looked within our Toastmaster community and within the speaking community that I belong to, who were the students that had parents that were speakers or Toastmasters?
I see. So some of them volunteered and some of them were probably voluntold by their parents.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They voluntold. Yes. That was a key factor because the parents understood the opportunity, right? Now, some of them had never been on the TEDx stage before, but a few had. A few had, yes.
It's amazing when your parents tell you, oh, this will be good for you. It'll be good for you in the future. Now, Cece, I'm curious, what were some of the topics? Were there any in particular that stood out or some perhaps topics that you might have been totally surprised by?
I was surprised by all of them. We had a young 11-year-old when he applied. His name was Nehemiah. By the time he actually gave his talk, he had just turned 12. But he talked about having a winning season followed by a losing season in basketball. And when a child can understand that and adapt, that mindset shift, it's huge for anybody, but especially a 12-year-old.
Did they all come up with their own topics or did they need some guidance with respect to the topics or refining their topics?
They all came up with the idea on their own, and then their coaches helped them refine the ideas and put it into language that everyone would understand. Yeah. And I will say this, we had students that came up with some really deep topics, maybe a family member or a loved one had passed away and how they dealt with that. We had a young boy, Nathaniel, whose mother passed away, and that was his closest relative. And he's now in his teens and having to navigate being a teenager without that close parental relationship. And he was amazing. Absolutely phenomenal.
Wow. That would have been hard to deal with, let alone share that on stage.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about some of the talent shows, America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, or I guess American Idol, British Idol, whatever idol programs there happen to be. And I'm thinking about how we hear a 9, a 10, a 12-year-old singer get up on stage, sing a song, and then the feedback that they would get from Simon or whoever to say, you sang that song with such passion and understanding. And I think I remember one time hearing the comment, you probably don't even really understand what some of that's all about because you haven't had that lived experience, the loss of the loss of love, et cetera, that you hear in a lot of the songs, right? Especially the love songs.
Correct. But these students spoke about their experiences. Now, the difference between an adult giving a TEDx talk and a youth giving a TEDx talk is that the adults are saying an idea worth spreading, right? Something that will make the community better and other people can implement and go on. But when one of the students speaks, it's their experiences thus far, what has happened to them thus far, and what could be different. That's the difference between a youth and a regular TEDx event.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how someone, you know, let's say at the age of 12, how they would share their experiences.
We had one young man, his name was Jalen, talked about playing and I guess laying down in the grass and seeing a plane fly overhead. And he didn't even know what it was at the time, but at that point decided he wanted to be a pilot. As he got older, every dime he made, you know, working after school went into flying lessons. Right. So children have these wonderful, wonderful imaginations of things that they'd like to do. And I think TEDx youth what it does is allows us to feed into them, you know, into and pour into them so that they can have their hopes and dreams fulfilled.
And that's a wonderful thing, because quite often people feel something or they think something inside and they don't pursue it. They don't take that next step, but by putting it actually out there, all of a sudden it becomes a lot more real to them.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. What was some of the feedback that you were getting from the students afterwards? How they felt or how it changed them? Or
I will tell you, I have a lot more grandchildren than when I started. I only have, I have four biological great-grandchildren, but now I think all of these children think of me as their grandmother, because now they know that we're a safe place, we're a safe community where they can come and they can voice their opinions and their thoughts. And one of the things that we did not restrict them on is they could wear whatever they wanted on stage, mm-hmm. and they all dressed up. There were no sneakers, there were no shorts, there were no tank tops or anything like that. These students all came prepared to speak and be on stage and step into a leadership role. And so it's really funny when we gave them permission and the space to do what they wanted to do, they absolutely showed out. Yes.
That's amazing. So Cece, you're not really a tough Marine. You're just a warm and fuzzy grandma.
I guess so.
How about you? What was your biggest takeaway? Is there something that you learned or learned about yourself during this process, besides the fact that you could be a warm and fuzzy grandmother?
What did I learn? That's like a table topic question in there. Let me see. What did I learn? I learned patience. I learned that when you allow people to operate in their zone of genius, amazing things happen. It was almost like we had practiced so long that it was just a natural step onto the stage. The youth leadership program is anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. We had these students practicing in what we call an open mic, where they came onto Zoom and just like a America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent situation where the person performs and everybody gives their feedback. When we allowed everybody to operate in their zone of genius, it was amazing. We had somebody who maybe concentrated on vocal variety or body language, tonality, transitions. That's how I would say that the mentors developed their talents. And we were like, oh yeah, there is no transition between the opening and the first point, or it's not clear. But when you're trying to do everything in a regular evaluation, you might miss some things. But when you have a panel evaluating a particular talk, yes, you can really break it down. So yes, that was what I learned.
That's awesome. And what about the mentors themselves? What did they get from it? What was some of the feedback that you got from your fellow Toastmasters?
They absolutely enjoyed the process. They loved working with the students. It was that accomplishment bonding. You know, we always hear about different kinds of bonding, but there's that idea of accomplishment bonding where everybody's rising to the top together, right? One of my mentors a long time ago used to say, "See you at the top." And somebody would always comment that the top of the mountain was a peak. But we decided, suppose it was a plateau and we could all stand there together. Everybody felt like they accomplished something in getting their speakers to, you know, deliver an amazing talk. Yeah, we all learned a lot. Yes.
That's amazing. So it sounds like the experience for the Toastmasters themselves would be something that they could take away from perhaps the coaching or the mentor program in Pathways. What are some of the skills for someone who this might be just brand new to them? What are some of the skills that they can take away from that would be helpful for them?
Definitely speech development, learning how to evaluate, learning empathy, time management. Oh, that was a big one. That was definitely a big one, time management, and how to work on a team as part of a team. Definitely.
I know for me, when I was the first time I was a mentor or a coach, one of the big takeaways for me was the realization that I had something to share with others. And I think that was really important, because when you first start out in Toastmasters, sometimes you're not sure if what you're saying has any value.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And as you were speaking, I quickly looked up, we did actually have an episode 285 called Leading from Your Zone of Genius, Aligning Work with Passion. And that was, our guest was Katie Stoddart. So if someone was interested in the zone of genius, that's something that you might want to check out. And we'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes. I just love that term, the zone of genius.
And I, even for myself, I've learned what my zone of genius is. And I'm a big picture person. So I come up with the ideas, but I'm not necessarily one to get in the trenches and execute all the fine details. Now I can check in and see if those things are done, but my zone of genius is the big picture, the big idea. And so now we've had one TEDx youth event. We're going to be having another later on this year in October. And it's amazing.
Yeah. I was going to ask you whether or not you would do this again. You obviously answered that question. And I'm curious, what's maybe one thing you'll do differently this time?
What will I do differently? Well, I'll tell you a new part of the project that we're doing. We were so successful with this TEDx event, the youth event, that TED is allowing us to host what we call a regional training for TEDx organizers. And I thought to myself, so how should I go about executing that? And it's basically a TLI for TEDx organizers. We're going to use the same format and bring in some people who want to be TEDx organizers and show them how to do it. But it's all based off of the Toastmasters TLI program.
That's amazing. TLI, Toastmasters Leadership Institute, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term.
And everything that I'm saying and that I have done has come directly out of the Toastmaster curriculum. The youth leadership, the level 2 in any path for mentoring, and now the TLIs.
Speaking of learning from Toastmasters, how did you get involved? How did you discover Toastmasters? You obviously have a strong speaking background. How did you find it and what made you join?
If anyone can, they should go look at my first TEDx talk. And I talk about being incarcerated. Not the greatest time of my life, not something I'm proud of, but I made a few mistakes. And when I came home, I decided that I was going to go back into the system and talk to other inmates and give them some of their options. Tell them that, you know, they didn't have to lead that kind of life, yada, yada. That's the short version. And then I met my business coach who told me, he's like, Cece, you're not really as good a speaker as you think you are. He says, you've got a captive audience and you may want to go to Toastmasters to see how good you are. I went and I did my icebreaker, 4 to 6 minutes. I had 25 ahs and ums in 4 to 6 minutes. So obviously I was not as good as I thought I was. And yes, I was speaking to a captive audience. Literally, they were in prison, and that's why they couldn't leave. And that's probably why they kept on having me come back, because I was the only person who would just come on a regular basis and talk. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's funny how, and I learned this in Toastmasters also, I took something, a period of my life, where I had made mistakes, and I was able to switch it around and tell the story without taking people into the valley and leaving them there and make it work. And here we are today.
Well, Cece, thank you so much for sharing all about yourself and willing to be vulnerable for the benefit of people learning. And folks, if you found this episode enlightening and there's some golden nuggets that you can take away, I encourage you to share, like Cece, share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And Cece, before we wrap up, if someone is interested in reaching out to you to find out more about the TEDx Youth or finding out more about what you do, what's the best way for them to reach you?
They can reach me through my email, which is C, the letter C, my last name, ESPEUT, at Toastmasters with an S, D47.org. And I know that's a mouthful. So honestly, folks, you can reach me on WhatsApp using my phone number, 954-478-5109. Once again, 954-478-5109. And I'm excited to hear from you all. So please shoot me a message or an email. I will definitely respond.
And Cece will certainly put links to that in the show notes. And folks, also don't forget to check out the article that Cece is featured in, Youth Takes the Stage, South Florida Toastmasters Help Young People Find Their Voice with TEDx Miramar Youth, by Kate McClare, in the March 2026 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Cece Espiu, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, and good luck with the next TEDx Youth event and, of course, with your training.
All right, and thank you so much. Thank you for having me.